Hi, and welcome to ArtCast. I'm your host, Denny Boynton, and my guest today is Joseph Parody from Accenture. He is the innovation lead for internal IT there. Joseph, thank you for joining me on ArtCast. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Denny.
What does it mean exactly to be the innovation lead for internal IT at Accenture?
Well, one of the things it means is that I think I have the coolest job title in the company.
It sounds like it.
And so what I do is, Accenture is a very large consulting company. I'm not on the consulting side. I'm on the internal IT side of actually running Accenture as a business. So what my mandate is to look at anywhere from 6 months to 3 years out, what are the types of things that are going to be influencing the way we deliver our applications and services to our end users, which happen to be the employees and sometimes the clients and partners of Accenture. So I look at a broad range of topics in internal IT, mostly around infrastructure and service delivery.
Okay, but that does sound like a pretty cool job, actually. So you're here at the Professional Developers Conference 2009 this week, and you're here talking about a project that the IT group within Accenture took on to move some of your internal business applications into the cloud, specifically with Windows Azure. Can you give me a little bit of background of kind of what kicked that off or what business problem you were facing when you started considering this project?
Sure. Well, cloud computing has been a hot topic now for a while. And when we think about cloud computing and hear about cloud computing, a lot of it is about building the next big Web 2.0 app or e-commerce, something that faces the public. What we wanted to do is we wanted to understand, if I wanted to take a corporate application, one which requires authentication, authorization, and run that in Azure, well, how would we do that, right? Is it even technically possible? The business decision separately, what would it take to actually do that technically? So we spun up a project where we said, well, how would we measure success? What are the types of things we're concerned about? And we identified a set of pillars of concern: authentication, authorization, data access, security. There's a number of them. And we then set out, we took a prototype example application, not our biggest application, not a mission-critical app. We said, this has a design pattern, which is very common for our corporate applications. It's an ASP.NET front end, SQL data on the back end. Mm-hmm. It has views, it has indices, it has stored procedures, the types of things you typically find in a corporate application.
A common distributed internal web application is
exactly.
Really a common architecture. Okay.
Exactly. And we thought that would allow us to get the learnings we needed to understand if this made sense technically to be able to take it to the Azure cloud. And what we found was that, in fact, it ended up being not that much effort to move it, and we were able to really get the understanding of how to look at those concerns that we identified, figure out which one of those we were able to satisfy quite well, where the open points might be, so that as we think about it from the business side, we now have a technical understanding of what it will take and where we need to do further work.
Sure. Okay. All right. Now, you were talking about ASP.NET was kind of the underlying presentation layer, SQL Server on the back end. Were there other components of these applications that were not necessarily Microsoft-based that you were there? Or were you working kind of with a Microsoft technology migration to the cloud?
So the majority of our applications are built on the Microsoft technologies.
Okay.
So it was a predominantly Microsoft technology stack. One of the things that is a little bit different about a lot of our corporate applications is that we already deliver them over the public internet because our users are not in our offices. As a consulting company, I need our users, our employees in the consulting workforce, to be out working at clients or with our partners. And so we're used to delivering our applications over the public internet. We understand what that means. One of the things that we were able to leverage was ADFS v2, mm-hmm. codenamed Geneva. And we used that for the federated identity model to be able to allow us to do that authentication and authorization for our Azure app within our data center without having to move any of our identity information up into the Azure cloud.
Now that's interesting. Let me stop you there for a second. Could you touch on that? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that struggle with identity, especially when you get outside of your firewall. Can you talk a little bit about what you found to be really easy about that and maybe some challenges as far as, because I think especially when you're talking about taking your internal applications and making them available to a remote workforce, there's going to be a lot of people with some, you know, with questions as to what that's going to take as far as identity management goes. What was your experience like with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our experience was really very good. So there's two parts to it that you really have to address. The first part is, how is your application going to be able to consume an identity that's given to it that isn't an empty token.
Okay.
And the other is, how are you going to get that identity in the first place? So ADFS and the Windows Identity Framework are how you handle those two pieces. So the Windows Identity Framework is a set of DLLs and code samples that you can use to build that consumption of what's known as claims-based authentication into your .NET application. What we found is that with basically 10 or 15 lines of code in our global.asax and about 10 more lines in our web page, we were able to consume that claim and convert our application from NT token to claims-based authentication. On the ADFS side, ADFS has built-in first-class support for authentication against Active Directory. So we're able to use the same username and password that our users know and love, or maybe not, and we can also then specify what information are we going to send to that application. So when you're dealing with an application that's not running in your data center, you don't necessarily want to send back every piece of property from the Active Directory. So with ADFS v2, you're very easily able to create a relying party and define what claims you want to send it, what pieces of data you want to send that application, so the application can make the right business decisions. And so we found that with ADFS, with WIF, as it's known, and with the sample code that Microsoft helped us get, we were able to implement a claims-based authentication model for this application in a short amount of time and leverage the identities that our people already know, the types of metadata from the Active Directory that our applications use to make business decisions today, in a claims-based model.
Well, that's amazing when you talk about how minimal the lines of code are to make that happen. Because, I mean, I'm sure you, same as me, I've worked on identity management in lots of different scenarios, and it's never been 10 or 15 lines of code here and there to kind of make the whole thing work.
Absolutely, and the Windows Identity Framework is really the key to this. So ADFS is the engine that does the piece outside of yours because it's passive federation. Mm-hmm. Windows Identity Framework, for the first time, gives you that ability within .NET to simply call into the identity model. They parse the sample token. If you've ever tried to write code to parse a sample token, right, yeah, you stopped before you finished it probably,
right,
because it's so hard to do. By having that common library available to you, it dramatically changes the amount of effort, and you get it right the first time, mm-hmm, because Microsoft has built it for you. So that, I think, is going to be a game changer as we move into a world where federated identity, not only for your company between different hosting locations, but between companies is becoming more important. Between, mm-hmm, you and your clients,
sure,
you and your partners,
yeah,
right? With WIF, you now have the ability to add claims-based authentication to the applications that you need it without a significant investment. We think that's really important, mm-hmm, not only for us, but for other corporations who are looking at how do they deliver those services or their applications to their partners and clients to drive additional business value.
Now, you were able to take, you learned this with this first application, this non-critical,
yes,
app that you moved up there. This was the piece. Were you able then to leverage that across the other applications that you eventually migrated into Azure?
So we've done a couple of applications so far, mm-hmm, and those are really as a learning. What we're doing now is we're stepping back. We've understood the technical parts of what we need in this study, and we're now trying to look at the business side. One of the things that we didn't understand well, it was just announced at the keynote, was how the pricing worked, mm-hmm, right? We still have to understand, how would that apply? How does that compare to our internal costs for running these types of applications? Mm-hmm. And then we have the other side. Depending on, you know, where's the data from? What country's laws apply to that data? What are our privacy rules, right? Every company is going to be different. Every industry is going to be different. What we now are able to do is make this a business decision, not a technology decision.
Sure.
Because we solved the technology problem. Now our business people can look at that and they can say, I have an application which I need to be highly elastic because I have 2 weeks of the year that is heavily used and the other periods it's not heavily used. So from a business perspective then, they might say Azure is a good place to run that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll then know that it's technically possible. We don't have to reinvent the wheel on every application.
So really, by driving, what you're doing is exploring the technology first.
Exactly.
And then by understanding the technology and the leap, then you make the move to Azure a business decision based on scalability, accessibility, uptime, and all those types of things.
Exactly. So you know, in my role, I'm trying to get out in front of where our teams might want to go with their business applications or our business owners want to go. So now we've been able to set a structure for them to understand this is what it means to your application, so that as they then get to considering it, they have a set of guideposts along the way to be able to know what their journey is going to look like and understand how they're going to be successful if that's the path that they choose, right? We don't believe that any one hosting option or model is going to be pervasive that everybody will choose. What we want to understand is how do we make the right decisions from a business perspective, knowing that it's actually going to work from a technology perspective.
That's great. So let me ask you this. As someone who works in internal IT, and you sir, your customers are the consultants that work, go out and work with the Accenture's customers, what would be some key best practices that you might pass along to other, because I think the vast majority of people work and serve within IT organizations. What are some things that you think should be top of mind for people who are looking at taking internal line of business applications and moving them to the cloud?
So I think there's a couple of really important things that you want to think about. First is, how do you do your authentication and authorization today? The classic is NT token, and then you're looking at some attribute on that user object. If you can today start to make the move to claims-based authentication, then you can leverage that completely within your company and start preparing your applications to move to Azure. Because if you're using claims-based authentication within your company and you then make that decision to move to Azure, you have no lines of code to change because you're already doing it inside.
Right. Sure.
The other thing that it gives you is, and this is something that isn't related to the cloud, but it's more of exposing your applications to the public internet. There's many companies that don't do that as much as we do because they don't have that need. But they're starting to get the sense that allowing people to access functionality from home, from the road, a salesperson, without a VPN might be a powerful changer for them in their business. So start to think about how you're going to expose those applications, how you're going to leverage SSL, how you're going to deal with firewalls. And some of those are going to drive you to say, hey, you know, things like ADFS, even if it's just within my company, allow me web single sign-on.
Right.
Allow me a good user experience if I leverage ADFS and claims-based authentication across all of my applications. The other message is, it's not a big bang. You can start to move incrementally. Identify that first application that is going to really be a big business driver for you that you want to make available on the internet to some of your users. Work on that application. That'll give you, like we did, the learnings within your company, the skills within your company, to be able to allow you to take it to that next level and expose it to the public internet, put it up on Azure, and get that business value that you can.
Yeah, I think that last point is really important, that you start talking about the cloud, and especially with an event like this where the topic is so prevalent and it's all over the place, that people start to go, this is just too much, we can't. So being able to break that down and say, well, this makes sense for the cloud. And that's, again, I like your approach because you're figuring out the technical aspect so that when it comes time to say, well, I think this should go to Azure, you really can look at it and go, well, what specific characteristics of this application fit well in that cloud model versus us just hosting it on our own infrastructure. It becomes a business decision, and the architecture side of it is really sort of figured out and ready to go.
Right, so. Absolutely. And so, you know, obviously I can't hide my background as an engineer, right? I'm going to break the problem down into parts and solve the parts.
Right.
But starting to think about where your applications are going to be, where your users are going to be in the future, will help you to plan into your application maintenance some of these types of changes. They're not dramatic. They're not a rewrite of your application, right? And that's kind of the biggest message. People fear change because it's a big unknown. And I think if you can take a small learning, be able to understand it, you can then get more certainty around how big that change is, and that'll help to reduce the risk. Business owners are always scared of risk. As technologists, one of our jobs is to help them understand the IT risk better, so that they can make good business decisions.
Okay, that's fantastic. This has been great. Congratulations on the work that you've done.
Thanks.
It certainly positions Accenture well for cloud development in the future. So I think it's great when I see internal IT creating innovation that can be then taken out to the field and everybody can benefit. Joseph, thanks you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Denny.
Thank you. So that's all for this episode of ArcCast. I'm Denny Boyden. Thanks for watching.